Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Friday Eve, high school football kicking off tomorrow. Talking a few sports here on a big show. Welcome to all the people listening on the Brewer Network. Brewers beat the Dodgers today. 3 home runs from the Brewer.
Ooh, nice.
Earned the split. That's good. That's good. We're in the pennant race. You want to talk some politics today, though, Salvia?
You know I do, man.
Yeah, why do you keep letting sports, me talk about sports then?
I know it's it was sports for you first, Crudy. I mean, you and I started talking politics, but you were already into sports when we were in college together. So it evolved.
I love going to the crowds, and there is nothing like the March Madness, probably my favorite event, high school or college level, because amazing things happen in March. But it is just nothing funner than just hauling ass from high school football game to high school football game on a Friday night and then driving back to the station, getting your highlights together and running down the hallway and getting them on the air just as the sports guy was starting to go live. I mean, those were the funnest days of my life. That and the partying with guys like you down at the bar after the 10 o'clock cast.
I remember many a day, Crudy, we'd wake up and you'd already be heading out the door. The rest of us are just starting to wake from the night and you already had to go cover the Packers. So, yeah.
I used to drag buddies to Packer games. You never got invited, though.
Never wanted to go, man.
Never considered you a close friend at that time.
You know, it's amazing how that works. Where's Bob? No, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to drive to Green Bay from La Crosse, 3 or 4 hour trip.
Noon kickoff.
Yeah, no thank you.
It was about a four hour drive from La Crosse. And we only had a 10 o'clock newscast on Sunday nights. So I was really busting my ass for 1 2-minute newscast. Sportscast at the end of the night.
You still you got those reels anywhere, Crudy? You got any memorabilia from the great sports days?
I think my wife's got it all packed down in the basement somewhere. Yeah,
you got a tape somewhere?
The high school yearbook and the letter jacket. And the maybe some of the documents. Army stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I never got any classified documents.
No, okay.
Barely got the letter jacket. Are you kidding me?
Did you even graduate, Crudy?
High school or college?
No judging. Either.
Barely in both cases. I was not an exceptional student.
Really? Shocking.
The topics that interest me, I was pretty good at. But math, really, really bad. I got like a 19 on my ACTs on the math component. Barely got into college. That's why I ended up in La Crosse with you.
The Harvard of the UW system? I don't know. La Crosse fills up one of the first schools every year in the UW system. It's beautiful out there. Good school.
Oh, well, that's all about
now that we're not there. It's actually a fine school in campus, and they're really doing nice things downtown the city.
I've been to La Crosse a couple times this summer, and I went to our old stomping grounds, Tom, and it's still there. Still standing. Hell, I think it's still got the hole in the siding from back in college. Nothing much has changed, except the characters.
Yeah, now we're all old. And now our sports, it's becomes basically politics. And maybe that's part of the problem we're having. People think it's the entertainment that it's not.
Well, I just saw at the Washington Post, not to talk too much sports, apparently the Big Ten Conference just signed a $7 billion TV deal. Billion with a B. Billion. These are amateur kids, right? High school kids?
Well, No.
Oh, no. College kids.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. $7
But still
how
amateurs.
How much of that is being shared with the players? Exactly.
Well, they can sell their images through NIL licensing now.
Yeah. Oh,
they can get some pizzas off campus or, you know, maybe get a few bucks for grocery money. If you're a star, it's okay. But, you know, the stars always seem to do okay anyways.
Isn't that how seemingly how it works?
So I had a billion.
I mean, come on. I mean, free labor from young adults to make a $7 billion. This is one conference, one deal. That just seems a little excessive.
When I was working, you know, like summer job in college, and it was barely a job, but there was a local baseball card shop, and they would hire guys like me to come and sort the cards. We would take out the packs, and then we would sort them into the different players, and certain players had more value to the shop. They would want the rookie cards or whatever, and they'd put those in the vault and hope they'd gain in value. But I worked with this guy that played for the CBA team in town, and at the time
Catbirds.
The Catbirds, but they were out of season. He didn't really have a day job. I mean, they don't pay so well that these guys would take the whole year off,
right?
So he's sitting next to me at the baseball card shop, and he and I and a couple others in the back are sorting cards all day. What a boring freaking job. Almost as bad as doing radio with you. But
you're welcome.
That guy at least was interesting on the stories. But he told me a story about when he was a college player, and he'd gone to the University of Minnesota. And we welcome our AM 950 listeners on KTNF. But he had been on the Big Ten rookie team at Minnesota. And I believe he told me each week he would go to his locker after practice and there'd be like $300 or $400 in the gym shoe. And he said after his freshman year, you know, he had a successful freshman year and he got paid okay. But then he went to Southern Methodist University that eventually got the death penalty. He said that's where the big bucks were at. got paid quite well, as he described it, as a college basketball player.
So getting paid under the table to what, you know, to what end? It's been happening. It always happens. It still continues to happen. But I mean, we're talking about adults that can vote, that can be drafted into war, that in any other circumstance would be able to, you know, work as a job and get paid for their labor. And yet, finally, they can what sell your likeness, but you don't get a piece of the $7 bill.
NCAA athletes actually are limited in even the money that they were able to make in off-season jobs. There were some limitations, and while I knew it was breaking the law, you know what I mean? I knew it was wrong. And when I worked for the university paper, the football coach, the aforementioned probably Hall of Famer based on the number of wins he had, Roger Herring, the coach of lacrosse, took him to 4 national championship games while I was in college for like 9 years. But Roger didn't mind fudging a little bit. And what I mean by that, the lacrosse team was part of the NAIA, not the NCAA. And part of the reason why was that the entire team, or many thereof, I don't mean to cast dispersions if, you know, I missed a guy or two, but the whole team was on steroids. They were all on steroids. And that was one of the decisions I made when I got to college is, what, I'm going on steroids to play Division III college football with no scholarship? No, thank you. I'll go work at the paper. I'll go be sports adjacent. You know what I mean? But the whole team was on freaking steroids, dude.
Yeah, but you could have had 6-pack abs, baby.
Well, you know, ironically, a lot of the guys that were on steroids were also retaining water. They didn't really have the 6-pack abs. And for me to bulk up to play, I mean, there were a couple of future NFL starters. There were multiple NFL starters. Bill Schrader was a future NFL starter. Mike Maslowski was a starting linebacker for the Chiefs. They had a couple of cornerbacks that went on and played in the NFL. I mean, these were NFL quality players. My body is not that athletic. And I graduated high school like 225 pounds, man, to play on the defensive line at big time college level. There were plenty of guys going 300 pounds. Well, the only way I'm going to bulk up at 6'2", 6'3", like that, oh man, that's modern chemistry. You're not going to do that, you know. So anyways, here's the other point. Roger was told he had to cap his roster at 100 players because of Title IX. Title IX was the new thing. And Title IX was trying to create opportunities for females to participate in sports. At the time, I didn't understand it fully. At the time, Roger Herring didn't mind fudging his roster, and he would submit a different roster each month. And each month, he would have a rotating group of like 20 additional players. So over the course of, you know, 3-4 months, someone started reviewing the players on the list and realized Roger had submitted like 160 players, and he was capped at 100. And, you know, the flip side of that is Bard Simpson, I believe, was the college women's basketball coach at the time. She had a mandate to go suit up 16 athletes for games, but they only gave her 12 uniforms and per diem for 12 players. You know, but it was sort of a mathematical joke. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a mathematical joke. And I was watching this go on from a Division III level. First and foremost, I knew so many of these players were using performance-enhancing drugs. And they were avoiding, notice because they were in a non-testing NAIA conference. I knew they were cheating as athletes. And I would also watch the coach cheat the roster. And then I would hear stories about those that actually made it to the bigger time, and they would be getting money stuck in their shoe. And I'm just thinking, man, that's just the way life is, right? All these amateurs. But of course, it was an exploitive system of these amateur athletes. So, you know, was I supposed to feel bad for the system if some coach was sneaking a kid money in his sneakers or the booster was giving him some money on Friday night? I don't know, man. You know, it's hard. Life is not black and white.
You wouldn't have to worry about it if they all got paid to play, like literally above board. Then we would
have
what we have.
Dude, you don't even know the facility. They want to put an indoor football facility in Madison. They want to get rid of the shell, like spend $200 million because it's an arms race. These Big Ten schools, they just signed a $7 billion contract. Well, how do you compete if you're the Mid-Atlantic Conference? You know what I mean? You can't put those sort of facilities. You can't pay your players. You can't lose money. You can't hemorrhage money at every sport. And you know what suffers, of course, is then the women's sports because they don't generate the massive TV revenue like the football does because it's the best sport. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.